I don't care what they say. It's still a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to another edition of Cabali and Mac, the morning after another brutal, defensively disastrous loss for your Pittsburgh Steelers in prime time. Oh, boy, they're 4-3 now, still atop the AFC North, but that lead is shrinking, getting smaller and smaller, and there's a lot of problems to talk about. How the hell you fix any of them, we'll discuss alongside Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack, just a dude in his basement with a microphone. You can follow us all the time on social media, whether you're watching it on X right now, at Cabali and Mack, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, and of course, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, because we're getting inching closer and closer to that magical number of 3,018 subscribers, at which point we'll pick a name at random from the subscriber list, and somebody will win their choice, either an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet, or that autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest. Kaboom got no sleep, so he is in rare form today. Nonetheless, here we are to talk about all of it with Yinz. People already lighting up the YouTube comments. We appreciate it. Don't forget to thank our sponsors as well. Maybe your yard is a disaster like mine. Maybe you've been thinking about doing something about it for a long time while Kaboom, his camera checks out. I don't know what the hell he's doing over there. But while he figures that out, check out southwestgreenspa.com. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. Secret is in their installation procedures. They are experts at laying down artificial grass that looks, acts, feels like real grass. A better surface than what they have at Heinz Field. I'll never call it AccraShure Stadium, to be sure. And safe for you, your family, kids, pets, whatever. You want to do a little area, a big area, whatever it is, go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you. So Kaboomski, I don't even know where to start with this thing. I know where I'll start. This little number that I saw tweeted out last night after the game. What do you think about this from ESPN Research? The first time the Steelers lost a game by double digits that they led entering the fourth quarter since 1996 at the Astrodome. Also the first time the Steelers lost a home game by double digits that they led entering the fourth quarter since 1985. The Emperor Chaz Knoll was still the head coach then. It was a bad night, a very bad second half. And there's a lot of reasons to be disgusted by it, not the least of which is that they had a really good second quarter and they had themselves a halftime lead.
Yeah. What was it? Like 180-8 in total yards.
Yeah.
Keeping them off the field, doing it well, holding that defense, offense in check, holding the defense. And defense was holding the offense from having any plays. Looked good. Had the ball to start the third quarter, then the non-neutral zone infraction. And, man, I'd hate to think that there's one play like that changed the momentum. But it sure felt like it. I mean, yeah. Right after the Devontae Wyatt non-call, they have to punt. And it all hits the fan after that.
So I want to be real clear. I'm not blaming this loss on officiating at all. I don't think you can excuse the meltdown in the second half on defense on that. I will say the officiating was terrible, I thought. Tucker Kraft got away with a push off on that floater that Jordan Love threw out to him that Deshaun Elliott got turned around on and played like a little league right fielder before getting his knee torn up. Terrible news, by the way. But I'm not going to blame it on the officiating, as bad as it may have been. This meltdown was a holistic meltdown on, I'll be honest, both sides of the ball, mostly defense, because they could not stop a nosebleed for the second week in a row.
In the flat, though, baby, right? Apparently, Mike Tomlin's not worried about balls being thrown in the flat. That's not why they lost. Yet, he and other defensive players wear shirts that say, don't get beat to the flat.
Yeah. Each week, it's a different target area that they
get. But it's similar. It's the quick throws. getting out of your hands quickly, catch and run, very simple throws to make. It's the same concept, but just different player involved this time.
Well, and to an extent, you'd allow some of those, right? Maybe in your game plan on defense, because you'd like to believe you can tackle somebody after they pick up 4 yards and that they're not going to be able to do it snap after snap after snap, but they can't tackle anybody. The opposing quarterback completed 20 passes in a row at one point, a franchise record, I believe, for the Packers, or at least as many as far going back to Favre in a game in 96, I think it was. So that's just one of the glaring problems. This team can't tackle to save their lives. Other than it appeared like Jalen Ramsey was having a decent night wrapping dudes up out there in the flat, but nobody else was, and nobody was anywhere near some of these balls. You know, I think about the one to, was it Christian Watson down the middle of the field where Juan Thornhill, like I said, is playing it like a little league right fielder.
Wasn't that right after the Zach Frazier, whatever, the neutral zone infraction? I think
it was. It was the following drive. Yes.
So they had 245 yards after the catch, for God's sakes.
That's disgusting. That's just disgusting.
You have to laugh. I mean, you just have to laugh. I mean, Packers are a good team, but I just don't know. I mean, Cam Hayward said after the game that, you know, they need to fight more. There was no fight in that team. I don't know who specifically he was talking about. I can guess. It might not be an educated guess, but he's not going to be throwing T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay under the bus, so we can pretty much narrow that up. But, man, one little thing went wrong, and it just snowballed. They have – and teams have figured out the formula. I mean, let's make no doubt about it. The Steelers win because they cause turnovers off of their pass rush. And when you get rid of the ball so quickly and make easy throws and easy completions off of it, it takes that part of the game plan, I mean, part of your game out of the hands of what players do the best. And we saw that last week. We saw that this week. I'm sure we'll see it next week. And the scariest thing about this whole thing, Mac, is do you see a fix?
No. 3 weeks in a row now they've gone without a turnover, by the way. And
they haven't had one here. Here's a good stat. You could throw this up there. They haven't had a stat in North America. North America in a month. Haven't had a turnover in North America in a month. Is that true or not? I think it is.
Yeah, it is true. And it's if that's all your defense is based around, then you're going to be in trouble when you don't force turnovers. Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. They've got a completely renovated space out there, Lakeview Square on 19 in McMurray Peters Township, right next to Juniper Grill. You can book online, nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudioii.com. Once again, Kaboom has done something to turn his camera off. 724-941-4595 to give him a call. Halloween, just a couple days away. Somebody in your life wants to get all done up real pretty, like get their nails done for Halloween. Perfect place to go. Like I said, you can book online, nailstudio2.com. And to be honest, the holidays, like it or not, are right around the corner. So you might be thinking about maybe a gift certificate for somebody as well. But they've still got a special on all of the Halloween services through the end of the week. Go to nailstudio2.com to check it all out. We appreciate them supporting the show. So Mike Tomlin had some things to say after the game. He was asked some questions like this one about scheme versus execution.
The problems that you've had repeatedly, is it rooted in the scheme or in the execution of the scheme?
You know, we all have to own it. Certainly you start with the schematics, man, because, you know, that's the leadership component of it. And certainly we'll be looking at everything that we're doing, man, because some of these problems are somewhat repetitive and we're not getting better fast enough.
Yeah, the problems are repetitive, Kaboom, because this defense is completely and totally predictable. It is the second week in a row a quarterback was able to get rid of the ball, like you said, in a very brief amount of time. Didn't have to go out of their way to read anything exotic on defense. Knew exactly what they wanted to do and did it. In Jordan Love's case, at one point, 20 snaps in a row.
And what else is repetitive is their play calling scheme on defense. Why don't we switch some things up? When you throw Brandon Echols out there on the outside for 5 snaps maybe instead of Slay, is that considered mixing things up? So, I mean, he has to take some responsibility in this as well to be able to mix things up here a little bit. So I'm not blaming it all on the players. The bottom line is the players are just not that good in the back half of the secondary. And that's another scary part. Boy, did they misvalue what they got in the offseason from the Slays, Thornhills, to lesser degree Clarks, to, I mean, I wouldn't even say Ramsey, because I think still Ramsey has played pretty well considering. I think they just, you know, the evaluation is just was not good.
Well, and here's the problem. When you see that players aren't able to do what maybe you thought they were going to be able to do, like you said, you should switch some things up scheme-wise. Yeah. We still have yet to see that. We still have yet to see them lean into what they may do well, although it's hard to see what they do well on the back end, especially right now, and what they don't do well. And that comes back to coaching. Mike Tomlin, for what it's worth, was asked, how do you get to what, how do you realize the potential of all these guys that you brought in that you felt so good about?
To get the potential that you saw.
We just got to be better in all areas. And it starts first with the positions that we put players in. And so, you know, as coaches, as players, as all of us, we own it. We'll be better. We have to be.
Oh, okay. Well, let me go find the big let me go find the big bucket of confidence that we all have that they're actually going to be able to figure out how to get better. It's empty. There is no confidence that they're going to be able to get better.
Well, and just by the people you have available to you, you're not getting better. With the Elliott out, you're not getting better. Your safeties are now Thornhill and Clark and Peppers.
So you are now at the point where if you're going to fix any of this, and you have to, you're the 32nd worst pass defense in the league. That's the worst. Like you said, it gets no worse. It has to get better. 273 yards a game through the air this year.
Four straight quarterbacks that had season highs in throw passing yards.
So that's, again, where it comes back to coaching, and whether it's Austin or Tomlin or whoever you want to put it on, somebody has to look around the room and say, hey, this isn't working. What are we going to try this week so that we're not so easily diagnosable by the opposing quarterback? I dread to think what the Colts offense is going to do to this defense on Sunday.
Well, I'm more worried about their run game than anything else. That offensive line's elite. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, I mean, I can get it 4 yards off of some of those holes I saw him running through yesterday. That's where you have an issue at right now, but that team should be undefeated right now. They haven't played the best of opponents, but they've taken care of business. But they, give them a little bit of a bone here, I guess. They tried a little bit different, right? With the Echols, and they knew that Slay wasn't cutting the mustard, but it didn't last long, and it didn't work either, to be honest with you. Echols looked lost as I've ever seen. I mean, up until this point, I would say Echols was one of their better defenders through the first 6 games.
Well,
not after that.
And I don't even know if it's I don't want to say that it's not personnel, because clearly these guys that they brought in haven't been as good as they thought they were going to be, as we even thought they were going to be, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't. Short of Jalen Ramsey, who, again, I thought did not play terribly, but you do have to lump them in with the rest of the secondary. But short of Ramsey, none of them have been what we thought they might be. And that includes the guys that they kept, right? They brought back Deshaun Elliott. I really like Elliott. I thought he's played very well through the first 7-8 weeks when he was available. Of course, missed a couple games, missed the most of the second half last night. He'll probably be out for a considerable length of time, given what that injury
was. I would say considerable length of time until about August next year.
Yeah. So
good.
The point is this. They constructed the most expensive defense in the league, believing in these players' abilities to get done what they thought they were capable of. And none of them is fulfilling their potential right now. The one of them that may have been when he was healthy is now probably out for the year. The other one can't really do it all by himself, Ramsey. And everyone else on the defense is falling short of what was expected of them. And so we can put it on personnel. Yeah, I'm not going to excuse the guys that are on the field. But when you layer on top the fact that the coaching doesn't seem to be doing anything to change the results we're getting now, this isn't just the last 2 weeks either. I want to be clear about that. It's the last 2 weeks. It's the first 2 weeks of this season when they didn't look very good. They still managed to get a win against the Jets because the Jets were the Jets, looked terrible against Seattle at times, and the last 5 weeks last year. And you can even pile up the arguments, the counterpoints to that if you want. Well, it was the two teams that went to the Super Bowl and a division champ, Baltimore and Cincinnati. That's fine. You pile up all the excuses you want. This defense now has a track record over the last 12 games of being the worst in the league.
Yeah. I mean, we should have probably see this coming to a degree just by the contract they gave some of these secondary guys. They're all one-year deals. I mean, Slay was 1 year, Thornhill 1 year, Clark 1 year, Peppers 1 year. Who else am I missing? Pierre came back on a year. What I'm saying is I think they might have had, hey, we don't want to be tied to these guys because we're not quite sure.
Right. This brings up an interesting question, though, that I was going to save for later in the conversation, but I think it's worth injecting here, is everybody's talking about the trade deadline being a week away, right? And people are still talking about number two wide receiver. That is so far down the list of priorities, right?
Unless you just want to do 2024 Cincinnati Bengals and try to put up 50 every game.
Okay, so fine. Maybe that's still on the radar. And now people want to talk about corners or defensive backs at the deadline when there really aren't a lot out there, maybe on the market. Maybe Reek Woolen of Seattle, I've heard, maybe on the market. But even then. So my point is this. With the deadline a week away, some people are still talking about the Steelers as possible buyers at the deadline, right? And my question would be, should they be sellers? You talk about all these guys on one-year deals. You know, I don't want to say you punt on a season 8 weeks in when you're leading the division. Far be it from me to suggest that makes sense. But I think it's a whole lot more just stand pat, unfortunately. That's not exciting. You want to see a team pick a clear direction. But I don't know if it's worth it to go all in, further in. They're already all in. They've already put all the chips in the middle of the table. Now they're asking Christopher, give him a couple extra boxes of baked ziti. Now they're pushing even more in, and now they're in even farther debt. They've built up next year's draft with the number of picks that they have to be able to sort of reconstruct this thing on the fly. To spend more of those picks on something that we can see is not just one or two players away would, I think, be foolish.
I mean, you locked me when you said Chris and Big Ziti. I have no idea what the hell you're talking
Sopranos.
About.
Sopranos.
No idea what you're talking about.
When you're at the poker game and you spend all your money and then you ask for a loan and you're like, how deep is he into us for? Oh, it's 6 boxes of baked ziti, $6,000. It's like, oh boy, okay. Now he's borrowing more money even though he doesn't have it.
So what you're saying is sort of like you should put it in current events, something about NBA or something.
Yeah, this is a bad Chauncey Billups poker game now. That's what this has turned into. You're not you can't go any more in on this season.
Yeah, but the problem is first of all, they're not going to do it. I mean, let's just get that thought out of our mind. They're not selling Although, if there was one person, say, that I would be willing at this point right now to say, we can move on from him right now and not really hurt what we want to do and maybe get something decent in return. They haven't used Jonnu Smith. They haven't used him nearly as much as anybody was thought they would be used. And I think he's quite expendable right now. Move him, maybe. That may be your only piece. Other than that, and I'm just speculating on that, I mean, they're just going to try to work it out.
I mean, if it weren't for the fact that he's kind of a part of this Transformer Voltron type thing that they're trying to put together to replace any production from a number two wide receiver.
How's that working out?
Yeah, not very well. And the fact that they're going to need multiple tight end sets more than ever if, say, Amalu is out for any extended period of time, because Calvin Anderson moves into a starter's role, I would imagine.
Calvin's going to be this. I would imagine Calvin Anderson will be the nipple rubber.
Point is this. The one thing that's worked for them the most on offense is running the ball behind multiple tight ends. And you're right.
If you're going to give up something to get something, even if there's anything to get out there, I think right now he would be the one that would be able to garner the most, in return. And you're not using him. You're not using him to his capability. Why have him on the roster?
And
just in case Freiermuth gets hurt?
Yeah, the problem is the offense isn't the issue right now, although they did have issues last night that I want to get into in just a second. It was more about play calling than necessarily what they were doing, especially in the second quarter. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. We appreciate them. They've been on board since the very beginning, and we got to thank them. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. The whole team is there, ready, willing, and able to take care of you in that effort. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, they're going to help you find the perfect home for you and or your family, buying, selling, whatever it may be. They got your back. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate their support of the show as well. Before we get into the offensive issues in the second half that I think, like I said, were more about play calling than anything else, the one thing that really hammered home the point for me that this is a all the way at the top, all the way trickle down kind of issue now is what Cam Hayward had to say after the game.
How can I affect the next play? You got to let what happened before go. That's just how this game works. If you continue to feel sorry for yourself, it's going to avalanche. And this was a clear case of that. You're not going to be perfect out there, but you got to keep fighting. I just think there's a lot of ball and, not enough fight on our side.
Not enough fight, Mark. Not enough fight. You mentioned this comment a couple minutes ago, but like,
I asked him right after that about.
I saw you lurking in the background there.
It was a shit show in that locker room. It was two questions and anything else for ex name player. That's like Jalen Ramsey. You might as well just. I'm talking because I didn't get fined. It was just really not worth going into a locker room. But I digress. I asked him about that comment afterwards. I mean, what role does he do to change this? He is a 36-year-old vet, and he really didn't have the greatest answer in the world. I mean, it was just go out there and help him out and speak positive and all that crap. So, I noticed is a lot of times when you hear. I heard a couple other people say that, so I'm not only going to say Cam said that. Usually when you hear a couple people say that, that means the coach post-game talk had something to do with that.
Okay.
We need to show some fight. I mean, I wouldn't be so shocked that those words came out of Tomlin's mouth 5 minutes after the game.
I don't see the issues, though, with what happened in the second half of last night's game being in necessarily a lack of effort. Like, this didn't remind me of
lack of talent.
The end of the Baltimore game last year, where you saw guys just kind of jogging after people. This didn't remind me of that.
I think they have that long. They don't have that short memory. One play is like, damn it, I effed up here. This affects play right here, and I think that's what he was getting at. You can't elect that that one play affect the other. You're a pro. One play, shit happens. Go get him the next play. Who's he talking about? That's what I want to know.
You tell me. I mean, because I, again.
Probably a younger guy, I'm guessing.
I didn't see anybody on that defense, at least from what I saw, give up. I just saw them get beat because, again, the opposing offense knew exactly what they were looking at every time they walked to the line.
Well, they did the same thing for like four straight weeks. Let's hope they know.
Well, but therein lies the rub, Kaboom. They're not adapting. They're not changing. They're not trying different things other than, oh, okay, Slay, go sit down for a couple plays. Eccles, come on. Like, that's not affecting any sort of change because they're playing the same damn system. And the same things are happening over and over again. When you're a team that's reliant, like you said earlier, on the pass rush, pressuring the quarterback and forcing turnovers like they did in New England. Okay. When you're dependent upon that and you see that the instant or the immediate, I should say, counterpunch to that is offense is getting rid of the ball quickly, right? Okay. Well, come up with something different. I said this last week. If you're not going to get home in 2.2 seconds, okay, I get it. Then start disguising coverages in a way that forces the quarterback to think for half a second more before he releases the ball.
You can disguise coverage all you want, but if you're throwing the ball 3 yards because this guy's open and you're running for 45, that's pretty hard to disguise. I mean,
well, that comes down to us the simple concept of tackle the man with the football. And once again, they were terrible at that last night. I mean, these are
closer to the line of scrimmage
things that they're failing at.
I would much rather give up a 70-yard pass at this point than, you know, get killed by 1,000 stab wounds, which seems like that's what's been happening here. Just pick, 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 pick. You know.
And then the opposing quarterback, people are talking about Jordan Love this morning like he's the second coming. I don't want to take anything away from what Love did. It's hard to complete 20 straight passes in practice against nobody, let alone 20 straight passes in an NFL game. But when you let him run around back there and fall backwards as he chucks a ball into the middle of the field and everybody's going, where's the ball? Like they've never seen a football in the air before. And then it's caught and then you fail to bring the man down and he runs for another 50 yards. Like, those are basic fundamental things.
Yeah, but that's not scheme or coaching either, which we seem to be blaming a lot onto too.
No, that's personnel. That's guys not executing. And so it's a lot of everything. The defense, and again, I state it because I think it's true. It starts at the top and trickles down. And if you don't have a way to either get your guys in the right spot, like Mike Tomlin said post game, then you better figure out a way. Or if guys are unwilling to do what's necessary, then like you said, you put somebody different in for a couple plays. The point is there's no easy answer for this. And when there's no easy answer, you end up going back to the origin of the entire thing, which is putting together this defense that they put together that's paid more than anybody else in the league and can't do even the most basic fundamental things correctly.
I don't know if I blame that on Tomlin. I mean, you could blame that on the position coaches.
I mean, who do they work
for? I mean, these are grown-ass men who get paid a lot of money. They, you know, a lot of them should take their responsibility for their own actions. You know, I hate when you just sit here and say, it's the coach this, it's the coach that, it's the owner this, whatever. To a degree, yes, it's they're responsible for everything. But, you know, a lot of it is the players just got to take responsibility of going out there and making plays and not letting this crap happen time after time after time again.
But wouldn't you agree that, yes, the certain guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do, right?
Are they not doing it? They can't do it, or they don't know what to do?
Okay, so why do they not know what to do?
I'm just asking. I don't know. I would hope that they know what to do.
I would hope so, too. We're in week 8. They should know what to do.
Well,
every single snap where there's a man in motion, you see somebody yelling at somebody and pointing over here, and you take him, and I got him, and okay.
There was talk again of communication error on a
defense. Of course there is. There late. Is.
The one end zone touchdown throw, I forget what it was. There was talk about communication errors, and now the guy that does most of the communication is not going to play? And you expect us to get better?
No, that's a big problem. I don't expect any of this to get better because I don't think anybody – we've seen that the personnel being used is not capable of what they thought they were going to be capable of. Huh. So now it comes back to the coaching staff and – how do you take guys that aren't capable of what you thought they may be capable of doing and put them in better positions? You now had multiple weeks of track record of, okay, these guys can't do X, Y, or Z well. I got to find a way to help them do A, B, and C instead. And they're still not trying A, B, and C. It's just for an organization and a head coach that claims that no stone will go unturned, it feels like they could be turning over some more stones.
Yeah, you know what I would do? I would move Ramsey to safety. You might stop his ability to make some plays, but I think that might be your best bet just to put him back at safety right now.
He has looked good in run support for what it's worth when he's been up near the line of scrimmage.
And, you know, if you're not happy with Slay, I mean, Porter's going to have to be the mainstay. You're not happy with Slay or Echols. I mean, is James Pierre going to be that much worse than what they already have?
I mean, it can't be. Statistically, you cannot get worse than what they've been.
I mean, Trice is still weeks out, I think. So I wouldn't expect anything from him. Plus, he hasn't played that much. He looks good when he... I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden they start that 21-day window on Trice. I wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, I don't know. I appreciate that it's trying something, but I don't know if James Pierre and Corey Trice are answers either.
You think James Pierre can be any worse than Slay?
No. Like I said, it statistically, they cannot get worse. It's an impossibility to get worse. But... and I guess, look, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here because I'm saying try anything, please, just try something. But it's not because I don't believe that some of these guys aren't capable. Like TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, Patrick Queen, Jalen Ramsey, they're all capable. So why are they looking like they either don't know what they're doing at times or just can't do what we all, I think, agree for the most part they're capable of doing? That's why, look, I am not a fire the coaches kind of guy all the time. I'm just not. I think it's too easy an excuse all the time. Just go, just fire this guy, fire that guy. But I have never been closer, aside from after the playoff loss to Baltimore and last year's meltdown, I've never been closer than I am right now to, yeah, you know what? Mike Tomlin's a great leader of men and a very good future Hall of Fame head coach. But, and yes, he'll be hired in a heartbeat somewhere else. But sometimes the path runs its course, kaboom. And it's feeling more and more like he gets less and less response from these guys and has less and less to fewer and fewer adjustments to make. I mean, the adjustments were pretty few to begin with. They've been running the same basic defense for the better part of the last 5 to 10 years. Yet here we are once again talking about no creativity and how they adjust to what they can or cannot do. And on top of it, we've got leaders in the locker room openly questioning whether guys give a shit enough.
Mm-hmm. Hey, give him the credit for actually saying it, right? I mean, that's the first thing you have to do is say it to get maybe the attention of some of these guys. I mean, you got to – this isn't college, man. You got to go out there and play every play like it's their last, and I don't think they have. I wouldn't doubt that he wasn't talking about any cornerbacks. It's just a frustrating, very, very frustrating for fans. But imagine how frustrating it is for these players and this organization in general to see this is what we're putting out there on the national televised screen audience, where everybody just came to see Aaron Rodgers and they left saying, I don't give a shit about Aaron Rodgers. Look at that defense.
Yeah, and I don't even really at this point care who's being referenced when they talk about, oh, we got to fight back, we got to show more heart and all that. The fact that it's being talked about is the problem. The fact that the coaching staff and the veteran leaders on this team can't get certain guys to care enough is an indictment all of its own. Like, that in and of itself tells me, hey, maybe some messages are falling flat. You think? That's what it tells me.
I'm sure Tomlin's going to walk that back tomorrow.
Well, if he's the one that walked into the locker room and told him they got to show more heart and more fight in the face of adversity.
Well, in my experience, that's where it normally comes from.
No, I think you're right.
Obviously, I wasn't there, but
I think that's a fair assumption to make, right? Like you said, when you hear multiple guys echo the same sentiment after the game, it's usually from what the coach had to say to them post game.
Yeah, they just mimic it. They just parrot what they say afterwards. So
if a coach who everybody agrees guys love to play for, right? Oh, everybody wants to come to Pittsburgh to play for Mike Tomlin. If that coach is no longer eliciting the kind of response in the face of adversity that this team needs, then and we all acknowledge that that's his best trait, right? Mike Tomlin's best trait is this motivational leader of men. Yet here we are talking about how
I think he has a pretty good defensive mind, considering.
I mean, 386 yards.
Wow, that doesn't mean it's going to translate every single year. I think if you have if there's some sort of an IQ defensive test, I think he'd be in the top 10 in the league. I do think he's pretty smart at that. My just gut feeling and what I've seen and heard and watched over the years, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think he's just too stubborn at times to maybe take some advice from others, maybe.
My gut feeling is that he's run out of answers, both schematically and motivationally, for this group.
I think he came in with a plan in mind, and once that plan failed, he's like, oh shit, now I don't know what to do.
If he's one of the top 10 defensive minds in the league, then, Mark.
Maybe he'll work it out. This is game 7 now. I mean, yeah. I'll tell you this. I'm always not a fired Tomlin guy because, I see him every day, and I see how much effort and how much he loves the game and how much he puts into this. But if this season goes to hell, I'll be right out in front January to say, yeah, it's time to move on. Right now, no, because there's just been too much history of saying he finds way to turn things around. And you're probably saying find things turned around just to save his ass just for another year or two. There's nothing really different. But I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt through this year. But after this year, I would be all ears.
Well, and I'm realistic about this too. Like, as much as I'm railing against coaching today, I'm also realistic in understanding that that's just not something the Pittsburgh Steelers would do. It's not. And whether you like that fact or not, it's a fact. So, look, even if they decided today that, even if Art Rooney sat down today and said, well, I think it's run its course with Mike, you're not going to do anything about it until January. Yeah. Okay. So
maybe January of next year, too. He likes to wait.
He's going to get the opportunity to prove that he can get this group back and get them to at least not be the worst defensive squad in the league, to paraphrase Mike Tarrion. But like, he's going to have to do a whole lot and do it quick, because the best offense in the league is coming in on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, the thing is now is, if they would have won that Cincinnati game, and they're what, 5-2 right now, we wouldn't be sitting here moaning and complaining. We just wouldn't be, because that's probably where you expect them to do be lose to two very good, you know, NFC teams right now. I mean, facts are facts right now. And when you're talking about the ownership and the ownership group, is the fact that the fact is they're a game and a half up, two games up on the Bengals, three games up on the Ravens, and they're still in first place in the division at the midway point almost. Those are just facts.
Those are facts, but I'd hate those facts to be used to defend the fact that their defense in at least four of their seven games this year, and again, the last five last year, has looked atrocious. And I don't just mean bad by Pittsburgh Steelers standards. I mean awful. Like the height of the Killer Bees era awful, when they couldn't stop anybody and they did have to go out and score 40 every week to win. Like, that's how bad this defense. It is statistically the worst pass defense in the NFL, 30th in total yards.
Which probably means it's pretty good against the run.
Yeah, because teams stop running against them because they don't have to. Yeah. I mean, it comes back to, it's a trickle-down effect, and it all starts with the leadership at the top. Tomlin even said that himself.
He says stuff, and there's stuff you say and there's stuff you believe.
Yeah, and if he really gave them a talk after the game, like, oh, I got to see more fight and more heart and all that, then clearly he's of the belief that the players aren't as invested as he is. That's what it would seem like to me, if that's what he said to them post-game. And that does sound a little bit different than what he said post-game, where he at least half-heartedly tried to take some of the responsibility on himself and his staff. Real quick, I want to thank the friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. We appreciate them because they've been on board since the very beginning. Get your furnace checked out, because it's definitely running by now. Frost on the pumpkins out there this morning. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. You can message them there or give them a call at 412-297-1852 and schedule that furnace checkup. Here's the best part of that. They'll knock half the cost off that furnace checkup if you donate a new children's clothing item or kids' toy, and they'll make sure it gets to the Foster Love Project for families with foster kids this holiday season. So instead of $79.99 for the furnace checkup, they'll just charge you $39.99 if you have one of those items to donate to the Foster Love Project. Again, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. We could talk about the defense forever until we're blue in the face, and we have for the most part, because I don't know if there are any answers. The one thing about the offense that bothered me, Mark, was that they, for the second week in a row, basically gave up on the run game when they didn't have to. You look at the first series, they're up by 9, and they come out in the second half, pass, pass, pass. The third one of those, like you mentioned earlier, is the no call on the neutral zone infraction. And then, you know, Love throws up the prayer to Kraft, and Deshaun Elliott gets hurt, and it's the Savion Williams touchdown, and all of a sudden it's a 2-point game. Still no reason to get away from the run game, but the next series, they start with a Jaylen Warren run for 4 yards, I think, and then 5 straight passes. It's a Chris Boswell field goal. They're up 5 again. Then Green Bay puts together a 10-play drive. They score the touchdown on Josh Jacobs' run. They get the 2-point conversion to Romeo Doubs. All of a sudden, you're down. Oh, my God, we got to start throwing the ball. It's the fourth quarter. You're only down 3. Yet what do they do? That first series of the fourth quarter, they get the ball back, 3 passes, and out. And they totally gave up on a run game that was averaging 5.5 yards a carry in the first half. They ran the ball just 3 times in the entire second half.
Yeah. You know, I just wonder if the Sam Mahler injury had anything to do with that. You move Spencer Anderson inside, all of a sudden you don't have a jumbo tight end. Your bread and butter, which has gotten you to where you have running the ball over the past month or so, maybe that has something to do with it. But still, I don't think all those running yards were coming off the old jumbo eligible play right there. I mean, Jaylen Warren was running hard and with a purpose. And I think maybe there was fatigue on defense a little bit. Maybe. I don't know why they got away from the run. I don't know. But
it's the second, maybe, because it happened in Cincinnati last Thursday night, too, where they got away from the run in the second half when they didn't have to.
Yeah, Jaylen Warren was running the ball well. And I mean, there's one of two ways you go. You're either going to run the ball and hold on to the ball and prevent possession to the other team, or you outscore them. And they did half of one and half of the other in this game right now, and it just didn't work. So I would assume maybe the look that they got defensively led to that decisions.
Yeah, but maybe. What was interesting on a lot of those plays, Green Bay was putting Micah Parsons standing up right behind the nose tackle, essentially, right? And they'd bring him on a blitz. And, you know, Parsons himself wasn't necessarily getting home a lot. It was creating the pressure that everybody else was then capitalizing on. It was forcing Rodgers into even quicker throws or having to hold on to it longer. I don't understand an offense that goes to the half with a 9-point lead. Granted, you could have done more.
And the ball.
And then the first 12 plays of the second half, you run the ball once. Once. I don't know if that's on Arthur Smith. I don't know if that's on Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if that's on Mike Tomlin. I don't know who it's on. But that's inexcusable. You've run the ball well to that point, and you completely abandon the run game in the third quarter and early fourth.
I would like to say that we'll get answers to that on Thursday when Arthur Smith talks, but then I know better than that.
He'll talk in circles,
so we're just going to have to guess, be honest with you. And my best guess is, I don't know.
For the most part, I think Arthur Smith has done a good job with this offense this year. Yeah. I want to be clear about that. But if all of a sudden one injury, in this case, Sayamalu, turns your offense from run the ball, possess, keep the opposing defense on the field, all that stuff that had worked, to run and gun. When we've seen that you don't really have the time to get routes open downfield, it wasn't like it was off a play action or anything. It was just shotgun or straight drop back. Let's throw the ball. One run in the first 12 plays of the second half. It's just
maybe insanity. I mean, I don't. Maybe they got caught up in the Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that they're like, okay,
I think they panicked.
Rodgers versus Love. Let's put some numbers up for the old coot, man, and show him about Green Bay. I don't know. I'm just throwing things at the wall and see if they stick. I mean, what else makes sense?
I think they panic. I think they panic when they see an opposing offense starting to move the ball and put up points and think they've got to do the same, and they've got to turn it into a track meet all of a sudden, which they don't have the personnel to do. They don't. They just don't. And so rather than leaning on what's working, run the ball, they start to think, or the excuse they'll make is, well, we took some dumb penalties and, you know, we ended up behind the chains. And okay, well, on first down, you're not behind the chains. Even if you take a false start, you're still at first and 15. Run the ball. Run the ball until they show that they can stop you from running the ball. Mm-hmm. And at no point last night did Green Bay have to stand up and show that they could shut down the Steelers' run game.
Yeah. They scored 25, right? Six on the final touchdown in 2 minutes, and three 50 or 56-yard field goals.
Yeah.
So you're sitting here saying, okay, they put up 25 points. had some decent yards, but in reality, but they scored 10 points.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't have an elite kicker and a last second touchdown.
Yeah, they scored one. The Roman Wilson touchdown counts, but like you said, it's in garbage time, more or less. Mm-hmm. So one legit, I don't want to use that word, but one touchdown before that point. One touchdown while the Packers were walking up and down the field. And I just, it's inexcusable, especially for a guy whose bread and butter over the years has been the run game and tight ends, to just completely abandon that in the second half. When you're not down by multiple scores at any point until after, I just pointed out the first 12 plays of the second half, you ran it once. And you had a lead most of that time, or you were down less than a field goal. You were down a field goal. It indicates to me on a higher level, there's some panic. And, oh, we got to start moving the ball. And, oh, we got to put up points to match the opposition, which, again, is a trickle up, trickle down, whatever you want to use. All points back to the coaching staff.
I mean, so what you're saying are the Steelers' problems are great and they are many?
Yes, they are great and they are many.
Is that what the Emperor said?
Yes, that is.
They are great and they are many. There had to be some positives out of this game. I mean, I don't want to sit here. I'm just asking what Boswell.
Did they Boswell, and they averaged 5.5 yards on the ground in the first half.
Warren, Roman Wilson, here we go. Taking that next step up, 4 for 72 in the tutty.
Here's the thing. I'm despite all the stuff I just outlined about play calling in the second half, mm-hmm. I really don't have any massive issues with this offense. I think, like I said, they panicked in the second half, they abandoned the run. But I think if they stick with the run game, this offense is fine because you keep the play action alive. You get Rodgers out of the pocket every once in a while. You feed the ball to the tight ends, which you haven't done enough. The offense, I think, will be okay.
I think the play action was just how we were expecting it. He turned his back, and the next thing you knew, Micah Parsons or Rashad Gary's right on your freaking face. So I think that you better stick with what you do best. And I think the offensive line, they played above average, but they had a couple hiccups.
Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting. Got to thank them for supporting the show as well. They do it all. Everything, interior, exterior, commercial, industrial. You want to get some fresh curb appeal for the outside of your house, give them a call. You want to make things look different on the inside of the house, they'll handle that too. They do it all. They'll do the drywall repair, then get you a fresh coat of color all over the house, inside and out. And like I said, if you got a business as well, commercial and industrial painting, get in touch with them now to get your free estimate at HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call at 412-344-0480. Higgins Professional Painting, family-owned business in Pittsburgh that's been doing it for 40 years, and they'll definitely take care of things for you. HigginsProfessional.com. We appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely.
The show as well.
Absolutely.
There's no easy fixes here, Mark. No easy fixes.
Well, let's look at the positives. I feel like a positive guy.
Really?
If they didn't play this poorly, we would have spent 20 minutes talking about how horrific those uniforms were.
Yeah, those things need to be launched into the sun. They're terrible. I told you that last week, and you didn't want to listen to me.
No, I'm never a fan of throwbacks. I think what really set it over the top was the freaking kid vomit, puke, diarrhea pants again. That didn't really match, I don't think. I think if you want more of a traditional look, if it was white or just black, that would have happened. That bumblebee look, it was just not good. And you talk about a laughing stock. You got that, them laughing at the uniforms, mm-hmm. laughing at the Go Pack Go silent counts.
Yeah, Rodgers admitted he had to go silent count at home.
That's embarrassing. I mean, you saw it coming, man. Steeler fans do not go to Sunday night, Monday night games, period. They just don't go to them. Pat got to get a big following. I think they got a big, big following in the Tri-County area, as I say it, more than you would imagine. And you throw it all together with the Rodgers, and then you get what you have. But that was – it wasn't as startling as the 49ers a couple years ago, because I wasn't expecting that at all. 49, what? 49ers just taking over the building? The Kenny Pickett year? This one, I knew it was coming, but who knew it was going to be that bad? That's, it's embarrassing. It's really, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers diehard, you should feel embarrassed that that happened. But, you know, I don't blame people, because you go to games, you don't get home until 1 o'clock. It's a Sunday night. You got people vomiting on you. I'd probably stay home too.
But it's not, you know, people talk all the time. I heard it on one of the talking head shows this morning. People talk about, oh, you got to go into Heinz Field or whatever the hell you want to call it. You got to go into Pittsburgh and you got to play the Steelers in front of that crowd.
Yeah, 11 in their last 20.
What is the home field advantage for the Steelers anymore?
Well, I think they were 11 and 9.
You're used to playing. 20. You're used to playing on chewed up sand, and the other team isn't. Like, is that the advantage? I don't know what the I really don't. Short of like late season games or playoff games at home, where's the home field advantage?
There is none. Not over the past.
This isn't
years.
A knock on. This isn't a knock on the fans necessarily. It's just, I think a lot of them have been burned by, like you said, you go to a primetime game.
It's just a lot.
And you're there. You spend all day waiting for it, right? Like Carrie Underwood sings about. You wait all day for Sunday night. And then you get down there. And then you get into the game. And then the team disappoints you. And then you got to walk back to the car. And you get home. And you get asleep like 1 o'clock, and then you got to get up the next day and think about how this team just disappointed you again. And there's a lot of people that I think, rightfully so, in some cases, go, why would I do that to myself? If I can make, and I saw some of these tickets were ridiculous, what they were going for on the secondary market.
Yeah, I'd probably sell them too. You can sell those and pay for the rest of your
for the entire season if you were one of those people.
I know a lot of people who would do that too. So
yeah,
but still, it's not a good look when it's the fourth quarter and you're the home team and you hear.
I can't hear whatever's playing on your phone. I can't hear it. Can't hear it. What? I can't hear it at all. I don't know what you're trying to play.
You can't hear that?
No. You're not holding it anywhere near the mic.
Where's the microphone?
It's on your headphones, pal. That little thing.
Hey,
this
now.
Is great. Watching you, that little thing hanging down there.
Let's see if it works.
Try it one more time. Nope. I don't know. What were you
pack,
trying to play? The go pack go? Okay, great.
Go pack go. How can you hear that? You can hear me talking, but you can't hear that.
It couldn't hear it. In little drips and drabs, we caught a couple syllables up. That's it.
Drab up your rear end.
Hey, you just take care of that little thing dangling there.
If
you're looking for a place to watch Monday night tonight, whether it's Monday Night Football, World Series, whatever it may be, any night of the week, really, get yourself down to Archie's on the South Side on Carson Street, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, sports, 80-cent wings tonight and every Monday through Thursday night, plus the rest of the menu is phenomenal as well. Sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas, too. It's all delicious. The wings are some of our favorite, if not our number one favorites in the burg. Plus ice cold irons and IC lights on tap and whatever else you want to drink. They got daily drink specials down at Archie's on Carson. Perfect place for the Monday night game. And like I said, maybe the World Series as well. Perfect place any night or day of the week for that matter. We appreciate Arch supporting the show.
Let's go Dodgers.
Yeah. They even the series up. on Saturday night, so it's one apiece, headed back to L.A. Did you get your new car yet?
Well, I've made a transaction. I have not received received it yet.
Ooh.
I got to go pick it up at one point here.
Okay, so it's done? You just got to go get it now?
I got to finish the paperwork a little bit, and I got to spiff you up the old beater for the trade-in.
What are you getting for a trade-in on that thing?
Oh, it's not bad. It's more than you think. The problem is, and I hope nobody's watching this, they're like, trade-in. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty beat up. I didn't have it with me. They're like, okay, we'll go check. Then they're like, miles, whatever. And I said, yeah, like, damp, blah, 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 whatever. And they're like, yeah, it's inspected, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's not inspected.
Jesus.
So I got to go get it inspected.
You like $50 for that thing.
No, it was decent.
You'd be better off autographing like the back right fender and inscribing it with like St. Vincent 2025 and selling it to a collector.
They're taking it to, what do you call it? Not the scrapyard. The auction. Auction it off for a part here, a part there, a part there. Doesn't matter. That's where they make their money.
Okay. Well, so, either way, you're going to have a big boy truck, aren't you?
I'm going to have something finally, considering my car was a piece of crap.
Yes.
But we'll.
You were long overdue.
You know, the guy, the sales manager, or whoever that guy was, I can't remember his name.
That's nice.
He goes, oh, I live in TJ too. It's the I'm place like, okay, you give me a couple more bucks off?
No.
Nah.
It's the only TJ we're talking about today. That's it. Not talk about that other TJ because I didn't see him doing nothing.
No, he had six tackles.
That's nice. He sacked the quarterback at all?
Nope. Well, he's had a half a sack in four straight games.
Okay, great. That's good. That's good. So now that we all feel really terrible about the way things went last night, because we couldn't find any fixes for any of it, we can start to prepare for the thrashing of this defense by the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday afternoon. Excited for that?
I'm stunned.
You're stunned? You're really stunned that this defense has been that bad?
Oh, the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I am. I have son that's been this bad. If you're not, you're lying.
I mean, I'm surprised it's been this bad. But now, I'm
just
not
going to stun me. Yeah, at this point moving forward, I'm not going to be stunned by anything.
Congratulations to you real quick before we wrap up here. You did do better than me in picks yesterday.
Woo! Hey, how was that Carolina game? How'd that work out?
Carolina. Yeah, that did not work out. That was a dumb pick by me. But so we're tied. We're tied once again in the picks competition, and we both have the Chiefs tonight.
There goes your hair.
Please.
I still think that I did a lot better than you. Didn't I pick I can't remember who I picked. I should wait them down.
You picked Baltimore, which I did not. There's credit to you. You picked Houston, which I did not. You picked, but I picked Denver. You picked Dallas. That was dumb. So you were a couple games behind me, and now you've evened it up. Okay. Let's see if you can, keep that momentum going forward. Okay.
I am the man.
Let's pump the brakes there. Okay. We can wait till Wednesday to talk about the big college coaching news of the week. Brian Kelly got fired.
Boy, he's going to really look good in blue and white.
Shut up.
Blue and white.
You bite your tongue. Not going to happen.
Oh, you know, you got to feel bad about that. Now, all of a sudden, Penn State's the second best gig in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. It's going to be.
BK.
Yeah.
BK.
That guy just seems like an insufferable. Bag of wind.
Okay. Who would you take, him or Urban Meyer?
Oh, God. I guess Herb? I don't know.
I have a feeling it's going to be Herb, huh?
No, I didn't say that. Like you asked if I had to choose between
them. I'd like to see Ed Orgeron myself. But
Ed Orgeron.
It's going to be Matt Rhule, right?
Who the hell knows, man?
There's didn't we promise to get somebody pit on?
Yeah, we promised to do it before the Notre Dame game, which is still a couple weeks away.
Okay.
I don't know. We should get somebody on this week from Indy. We know plenty of people in Indy.
I reached out, so I haven't heard anything yet, so it's not a good sign.
Get somebody from Indy, maybe, to get ready for this game on Sunday afternoon.
I had somebody in mind, but, you know, usually when you don't get back to you, it's not a good sign. So,
well, you take no for an answer very quickly, too.
I got nothing for an answer.
Yeah, but you take that as a no when sometimes it's just somebody not having time to get back to you right away.
Speaking about that.
You get very easily discouraged for a dogged journalist. You know that?
I got tone on, so you can shove it up your rear end.
Tone was great last week.
You know what? Did you happen to see who was in town? Who was in town yesterday?
Clint Hurdle?
Well, the great bad Napoleon was in town.
Oh, he was.
He was at the game.
Wow. That's something.
Yes, he was at the Penguin game the day before, I believe, too.
Really? Big trip for Bad Napoleon.
Yes. Any direct flights from like Montana or North Dakota or Winnipeg, wherever he's from?
I don't know. But yeah, Clint Hurdle was in town yesterday, too, this weekend. Went to the Pens game on Saturday, did like some kind of book thing down at the History Center yesterday. Clint's a very good man.
Did you go there?
No, I did not. No.
I was busy. Why don't you get Clint Hurdle on to talk about the Buccos?
We could get Clint on. You want Clint on?
Not right now.
Not now, but yeah, later.
Schneid. Your boy Schneidman's like, I'm not talking to you. You made me look like a jerk on your podcast. I'm like, nah, that was yourself. I talked to her boy McQuaid, too. I said, oh, you're too big for a... He was at the game. You're too big to come on my podcast, I see. But you can come to the Steelers game, huh? You believe a guy from Ireland does not like dill pickle chips?
He doesn't?
He looks at me and goes, what the hell is this?
I'm like, I didn't think that would have anything to do really with being Irish or not. I just dill pickle chips.
I was told that Irish food has zero taste. No seasoning, nothing. He disagreed with me. He is from Ireland, so
Well, you know what? McQuaid covers all the European games, right?
Yeah, he was here, and now he said he's going to Germany. Isn't there a game coming up in Germany? Yeah,
there's a game in Germany in 2 weeks, I think. We should get him on before that.
And apparently College Game Day is coming to Ireland next year, or at least he's trying to get him to do it. I you know, it's tough with McQuaid because – I only understand about one out of nine words he says.
It's that Irish accent.
No, it's a thickie.
It's
all I know is he's a big fan of the champagne of beers.
It's a thickie. Okay. Breaking news, by the way. We'll publicize our friends at the Pat McAfee Show. They're going to have Lane Kiffin on this afternoon. So
after the debacle at Oklahoma.
Debacle?
You mean yell at the freaking kid?
How's that? That's just Kiffin being Kiffin, baby.
Well, I mean, you might want to take the high road if you're a freaking coach.
When has Lane Kiffin ever taken the high road?
That's what I'm saying.
He ever done that? That would be so. It is so on brand of him to talk shit to a kid from the other team in the middle of his post game interview on the field.
Yeah, that's great.
That is the most Lane Kiffin thing that Lane Kiffin has done.
The kid was just trying to dap him up too, you know. Hey man, good guy. Hey, good all fun.
There's a guy I will support as the next Penn State head coach. Get me some Lane Kiffin. Yes.
Why would he take a step down?
Shut up. All right, that's going to do it for today. We'll be back on Wednesday to break down whatever nonsense we get out of the Mike Tomlin press conference tomorrow and to continue to build up for God knows what we're going to get Sunday afternoon against the Colts. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Yins, make sure to support them and appreciate them and make sure to follow on all the social media. Get subscribed on YouTube as well, @Cabali and Mac. We'll talk to Yins on Wednesday morning. See you. Bye.